If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the living love of the divine source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is noticing subtle shifts into higher awareness and appreciating the unique experiences and experience that subtle shift as the light begins to integrate into your conscious awareness. There's always a sensation that follows, conscious evocation of divinity. Take another deep breath and consciously evoke and call forward that divine presence that is your authentic self, the soul, the Atma. And one more deep breath. And let it infuse every single atom of your being with living light, living love, living music. You are the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. And just be aware of where your consciousness is focused right now. Close your eyes and just notice what is going on. So Earth is the springboard to God. To God consciousness. To conscious Godhood. And I'm given to understand that only on Earth and in a human body can we experience at the same time all of the multidimensional levels of consciousness, including Godhood. And I understand this is the only planet, at least in this solar system, where that is possible. I believe I actually heard Sai Baba say that only on Earth can we return to conscious Godhood. Now that's why having a human birth is incredibly precious. You had to push an elbow and finagle your way into an Earth incarnation because literally every spirit and their dog wanted to have a human birth. Particularly at this time when we are transitioning from one world, one dimension, one state of reality into the next higher one. You are here at the closing of the Kali Yuga, the age of densest darkness, and moving into the Satya Yuga, the age of truth. When everything is transformed into living love and must carry that vibration of living love in order to move into the next globe or version, let's say, of the Earth. So just notice that you have the qualifications in this very lifetime to experience the greatest shift you can possibly imagine. It is worth tabling and setting aside any other agenda and going for it with all your heart. Let nothing delay your fullest awakening to joy and fulfillment and bliss. I truly believe that those of you who are called to listen to these seminars each week are among those, perhaps few, that are ready. Otherwise, you'd have no interest in what I offer each week, what we offer, because I'm but an instrument. We're all instruments to which the divine is seeking full expression. So noticing the subtle shifts of your inner state when you are in a heightened awareness is an acquired skill. You simply need to stay present and alert to what's going on inside yourself. I'm not talking about the noise, the static of your thoughts. I'm talking about your state of awareness. Now, when you practice what has been called mindfulness, choiceless awareness, or being the objective observer, you'll begin noticing these subtle shifts if you choose to look. This will greatly enhance your enjoyment as you go through the process of self-illumination consciously. Now, each of us has a certain way of connecting with our divine source and center and experiencing our divine nature. Each of us has a particular manner in which we most naturally connect and stay connected of how our best self presents and shows up in our daily life. And it's your dharma and duty to find your own way to do that. It can't be given to you by another. One size does not fit all spiritually. You are a unique one of, and you need to find your way, with a capital W, of what is natural to you. Now, when you make that connection, it causes one to feel confident, inspired, and empowered. So pay attention. When you feel confident, inspired, and empowered, because you've made that divine connection. So every one of us is divine conduit to which God, our divine source and creator, is seeking expression. Now, the degree may vary considerably, depending upon how consistent that connection is made and maintained. Or, in some cases, that's rare, or possibly not even at all. Sometimes the lower animal nature or egoic mind is in full control. However, if it was in your case, you would not be listening. So in this seminar, we want to notice and focus upon those subtle shifts that can occur unexpectedly, anytime, any place, from moment to moment, but usually go unnoticed, unless you know how to notice them and have some of these subtleties brought to your attention. Unless that's the case, your best moments may pass by unnoticed. So these seminars are all about cultivating awareness of the divine essence indwelling all life forms. It's about cultivating conscious godhood, recognizing when you or others are in those higher states of consciousness, and how to raise your own vibration at will into a higher state of consciousness. So you learn to self-activate higher states by learning to shift your area of focus and attitude. You all are familiar with using music and humor and laughter as two of the ways that can rapidly shift you into a higher spiritual state. Now, first of all, consider that it's difficult to see what you are already. You are pure love. You are divine, holy, whole, and complete right now. You're not developing these things. You are that. You are the light, the divine light, the divine sound itself. You are God. So how can you notice any of that when you are that? Well, you can't in your present original, pure state. Light can't see light. God can't see God. Why? Because in that purest, absolute state, there is no otherness, no shadow, no reflection. One simply is that which is. And that is why, as pure spirit, immortal and pure, the one that is extended itself into the many rays of individualized units of awareness, called souls, or jivas in Sanskrit. The soul took on various vestiges or sheaths of consciousness at each dimensional level, giving it more and more individualized perception, until that pure original light was densified into physical form. And voila, here we are. However, on Earth we can see differences. And this is the value. We see differences because we are operating under the laws of duality and polarity, which governs our perception within all of the psychic and material realms, beneath the realm of pure soul and the God realms beyond soul. That's important to recognize the value of having the laws of duality and polarity acting upon our perception. We can see, because of this sense of otherness, because the illusion of these many forms and differentiations allow us to see by means of reflection. Everything on Earth is a reflection of the realm just above it, which is a reflection of the realm just above it. And so on, and so on. Everything here in the realms of time, space, and duality is a reflection. We can only see by reflection. So through reflection, we can see ourselves as in a mirror. Thus, every person, everything that we see outwardly is but a reflection of our own self. We have an ego mind here, which defines everything in terms of separation and fear, so that we project outside what the ego mind wants to keep distant, so that it can stay in the illusion of the body, in the illusion of the world, in the illusion of the manyness, where it seeks to hide from God. Ego edges God out. It's its own little God. But look how it serves us. Without ego mind, we would not see separation. We wouldn't have the unique experience of feeling and believing that we're separate from one another, that there's a separate world out there apart from us. And moreover, we wouldn't have fear, which is very necessary, because fear is false evidence appearing real. And if you don't have false evidence appearing real, how are you going to have the opportunity to discern truth, to awaken to that which is beyond fear, to that which experiences the oneness and the safety and the joy of the one life? So you see, everything we come with here, that we have access here, that many of us curse for having to experience it here, is part of our training for conscious godhood. It's part of what we have corporately, as divine beings, wished to experience. So we see outwardly reflections of our inner state of consciousness. What we see depends upon what part of our consciousness is doing the looking. What part of our consciousness is doing the looking? And what part of our consciousness is doing the listening? Pay attention. So clue number one might be to notice what level of consciousness is observing. Who is observing? Eckhart Tolle asked himself that question when, in his deepest state of abysmal despair, he said, "I can't live with myself anymore." And that bizarre question catapulted him into full awakening. Who is this self that can't live with itself? Are there two selves within me? How can that be? I can't live with myself. And the absurdity of that statement catalyzed his awakening. So sometimes we do get to that place where we can't stand that irritating voice in our head that never shuts up. Yes, of course it does. It's very easy to go to the level above the noise and fill the level that is so noisy with the light of your higher awareness. And then where is the noise? It dissolves. It dissolves into spacious being. So again, you're in control. But you have to develop that ability to rise above those distractions into a higher state of awareness. That's what meditation is for. That's what mindful practices are for. That's what contemplation and dwelling upon the impersonal self is for. That's what soul transcendence and chanting your initiatory mantra is for. to carry you beyond the chattering mind, the monkey mind, the distractions of the ego, into who you truly are, which is ever serene, ever calm, gazing upon all of these things that you go through with calm certainty. So one state of consciousness gives the definition, interpretation, and coloration to what is otherwise a pure state of divine perfection, which is an entirely neutral state. The soul is entirely neutral. It is not in polarity. It's not in duality. It's not in the separative sense of self we call ego. It simply is. Absolutely blissful. Whatever's happening, nothing affects the soul. So, to put it simply, ego sees other egos. Soul sees other souls. And God, or the monadic state of consciousness, simply is all in all. So ego is that state of separated mind which attempts to mimic God. It seeks to be all supreme, all knowing, and always right, but is exactly the opposite. It's everything but true. The ego is simply an illusionary shadow reflected by the laws of polarity and duality into time and space. And really, one need do nothing with the ego at all, but notice when it shows up. You don't fight it, you don't kill it, you don't destroy it, you don't do anything with it. What are you going to do with a shadow? Huh? You're going to get a broom and go after it? No, turn on the light. Where's the light? In your mind. In your whole being, in your conscious awareness, you are the light. So fill that room of consciousness with the light, and where are the shadows? Where's the ego? Where's the monkey mind? There is no shadow. There is no ego. There is no monkey mind. Those are just phantoms, shadows. Turn on the light. The light of higher awareness. So let's acknowledge the value to be had by lowering our vibration as soul into the dimensions of otherness, which enable us to see and know ourselves through mirrored reflections of ourselves. The laws of duality and polarity make perception possible, and thus recognition, recognizing. We recognize our state of consciousness and ultimately awaken our remembrance of our immortal divine identity. So these laws of polarity and duality that we have upon earth enable us to reveal our true self to ourselves and to allow the sense of a separated self, i.e. the ego mind, to simply dissolve back into the nothingness from which it only seemed to emerge. So that illusory egoic state simply dissolves back into pure divine light, into truth. Truth is real, and that which is real can never be threatened. It is simply unreal, and therefore no threat at all. We have feared and fought unnecessarily the lower nature, the ego, the mind. We don't have to be at war with any level of our experience, our life, or anything that goes on in our life. Everything is as it should be and is appropriate if it's present in your life. It's what you wanted. It's what I've wanted. It's what we have collectively, as many parts of our own one self, decided we want to experience. But with the awakening, with realized godhood, one then wears the crown of life. Crown of life is attained as you realize who you are. So awakening, we know at a conscious level who and what we are forever. And unless we awaken to that which is immortal, birthless, deathless, eternally pure, and identical in every way to our Creator, we're still not fully awake. We're still dancing within the shadow play of the manyness. Now, before, when we were at a soul level, we were existing in a pure state. However, we lacked conscious experience. That only immersion in otherness provides. As soul, we came into these worlds as an extension of consciousness, not a departure from source, as an extension of consciousness from the God realms. We extended into the illusions of time and space and differentiation to gain conscious experience of ourself as God. So you see, all of this has a very divine purpose. And all of our lives have been on purpose and for a higher purpose that most have never even imagined. So this earth could be said to be not only a school for self-mastery, but a school to develop conscious godhood. We're in training to be conscious creator gods in future worlds yet to be created. By whom? By ourselves. So let's consider time. Time also serves us on Earth. Time, although psychological and a function solely of the human brain, serves us in many ways. For example, time enables us to experience life's events in sequence, in a form of slow motion, even though all of these events that we see have already been worked out and completed and thoroughly explored and experienced. Slowing them down, we can look at them and revisit them and experience different variations of that minor theme or major theme, however you regard it. Whereas in the eternal now, there is no time. But there are cycles, cosmic cycles of expansion and contraction, of involution and evolution in time-space. But at the cosmic level of expansion and contraction, like the breathing in and out, it's the in-breathing and the out-breathing of the Supreme Source that gives rise to these cosmic cycles. Which Sai Baba has said, keep repeating, but in a higher turn and spiral that exists all at the same time. not too easy to understand that when you're operating through a human brain that only understands linear time. So with time sequencing, we have the opportunity to reflect and ponder, to consciously direct our attention, and shift our state of mind and consciousness however and whenever we wish. Now, time offers us a starting and an ending to various sequences of experience. So we're not stuck forever in the same state of consciousness or experience. Even birth and death, although they're both illusory, seen in this context, are a blessing, for we have a fresh start in each incarnation and in a new life expression. And mercifully, we don't remember the past, so we really have a fresh start. When you become a full master, you do remember all of your lifetimes, I suppose. That's what they say anyway. But since we've had millions and millions and millions of incarnations in every conceivable life form, I think that's way too much data. So we'll leave that to those to whom it is important and who can use that information in a way that probably transcends what we think of it at this moment. But consider that we can reinvent ourselves in as many roles and guises as we wish to experience until we're thoroughly satisfied with our experience on Earth and want to go on to experience life in another world or dimension. And thus we incarnate in all of the various realms and planetary systems and universes and galaxies, and there's no end to life. And everything viewed from soul awareness is exactly as we've wished it to be, so that we can have all kinds of experiences by playing all kinds of roles in life. Thus, we develop empathy, compassion, and appreciation for all the myriads of life expressions. There's life at every dimension, in every conceivable form, on every planet, on every sun, on every moon. The orbs that you see through the telescopes when you look out in the night sky are simply planetary worlds that are in incarnation. But there's also planetary worlds that are out of incarnation, and you can't see them. And when one suddenly comes into incarnation, scientists get very excited because they think they've discovered a new planetary or celestial orb. But in actuality, they appear in when they're birthed into time-space and disappear out when they're out of incarnation. So speaking of the alteration of our consciousness in terms of cycles of time, notice those in-between times when there is a shift in time. For example, notice daybreak as it moves into morning, as morning moves into afternoon, as afternoon moves into mid-afternoon, and from thence into sunset, and twilight into evening. Particularly notice the subtle shifts in your consciousness in those in-between times, especially sunrise and twilight. You have to pay attention and stay present. And just notice. Especially notice as you awaken in the morning. Don't leap out of bed. Train your basic self to awaken before the alarm goes off. Don't allow the alarm clock to jolt you back and rob you of conscious awareness at that most important time. I've trained my basic self to never wait until the alarm goes off, because I so cherish that transition from the inner planes of consciousness back into my conscious mind. Oh, what glory I've experienced in doing that. I remember one time I was coming back to my body from out-of-body travel and work. I was living in Sedona, Arizona at the time. And as I flew, spiritually speaking, in my soul body, back over the city from the higher dimension, I saw the most glorious golden city of light hovering in the etheric realm just above the physical Sedona. And I told Solariel, I said, oh my heavens, if people could only see the glory that's hovering over this earth, these celestial cities that are going to be appearing in to this dimension, because it's so close. We're in that transition now where we're lifting from the third and fourth dimensions into the fifth. And that's why people are beginning to see what looks like cities hovering in the sky. This is what's appearing when people suddenly see into the slight shift of dimension into that next level. Solariel, my companion, and I also saw when we were driving on the outskirts of Las Vegas years ago. We saw these golden cities, what looked like physically barren desert and sagebrush and sand. There were these glorious cities of light. Many of you who are sensitive and have developed etheric vision, which is a finer attunement of your physical eyesight, you begin to notice these things appearing in. All the things you've read about in your mythologies and unicorns and beautiful, beautiful things, celestial dragons, divine dragons, many, 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 many beautiful things. Unicorns, and everything exists in that dimension that's just closest to the earth. So it's very thrilling to begin to lift your focus of awareness and attention beyond the physical forms, looking beyond into that which is just hovering in a slight shift of higher awareness. You can see it. So pay attention as you're coming back in your body in the morning, or when you've been out of body in soul travel, in meditation. And notice just as you're falling asleep. Try to stay conscious so that you can consciously participate and observe the consciousness as it shifts into the next dimension. Allow yourself to stay put for a few moments upon awakening. And notice what's going on inside your consciousness. I was noticing today with some interest that as I came back into the body, I was in the soul realm and I was watching the color shift. I was seeing golden. My whole inner vision was filled with golden light, which is the color that you see when you're in the soul realm. And then as I started to awaken and the mind started to be activated, the gold shifted into a bluish color. And I just watched that. I thought, how interesting. And then later on in the morning, I just closed my eyes for a moment. And I noticed bright concentric waves of light were emanating from my third eye. I wasn't in any particular spiritually heightened state, I thought. And here is this glory being transmitted out through my third eye. So notice these things. Notice it. At some point, everyone develops continuity of consciousness so that you are awake and aware, regardless of what the body is doing. You don't lose that strand. That's actually the development of conscious immortality. And you experience your immortality when you're able to develop that continuity from waking to sleep, or from being in the physical body to stepping into the next dimension beyond the physical body. You don't lose that strand of awareness. Now, all of these abilities develop from your simply noticing what's going on here and now within your consciousness. There's nothing frantic about this. It's inevitable you will return to conscious Godhood. It's not your doing, it's your allowing. Because it's done through you, but not by you. If that makes sense. That which is greater than that which is in the world, meaning your personality and lower self, that which is greater, which is you as a soul, as a monad, as an I am presence, as a divine spirit, that is what is doing the work. Or you can simply call it the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. When we call it something that has been called that in religion, we tend to externalize it and not own it as our own self. So you can use whatever term you want to use, but begin to internalize God, divinity, the Holy Spirit, the divine light and sound currents, the mystical traveler consciousness, whatever else you want to call it, the inner master. Begin to internalize and own those states of consciousness so you don't keep separating yourself from your wholeness. So you begin to detach from your personal human identity and identifying with the thoughts that flow through your mind. Those are not your thoughts. They are a collective mind stream that everyone contributes to. The emotions come and go. You learn to observe them and not allow yourself to be swayed. The body can be here or there or not, and you're still you. Awake, conscious, and aware of all your levels, but at the same time, above and beyond them in that transcendental state that we call higher awareness. So with practice, you can move in and out at will, into the form and into the formless dimensions, and in and out of time, and discover life beyond earthly limitations and definitions. Isn't that glorious? Notice how your dreams change as you awaken in soul awareness. Sometimes you no longer dream, you depart the phenomenal realms of projection. Sometimes you simply awake in a very lucid state as a conscious server. It can be in any of the astral or mental worlds or beyond them. But you go about teaching, healing, helping people on many dimensions, on earth and anywhere in the universe as you are drawn to serve. When you go to bed at night, why not offer yourself to be of service in any way that would be for the highest good of yourself and others? Just ask. So these conscious dreams are more in the nature of what we would call expressions of soul awareness. But notice how subtly your consciousness shifts after each level of initiation or expansion of awareness. Reflect on how you are today and how much your awareness has expanded throughout your life or before you consciously embraced a spiritually focused life. Do your duty in the world, whatever that is. We've been given custodianship and stewardship over all the kingdoms of nature on planet Earth. It is our dharma and duty to take care of the physical planet and all of its ecological systems. So expansion of awareness also implies expansion of your ability to manifest excellence on every level of your life, to take care of yourself, to take care of others, to take care of the planet and your environment, to be impeccable. After all, you're an expression of Godhood, of the divine, which is absolutely perfect. So let me ask you, have you experienced a sense of presence, of otherness around you? It's a palpable sense of holiness. At the same time, it's an expansiveness, and a sense of vastness, where you expand and embrace this presence. And if you watch, it's like a hush falls upon you. It's as if all of nature inhales and holds its breath. Every time the avatar Satya Sai Baba would step out of his room in his ashram, Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of peace in India, one would feel that hush. The chattering monkeys would suddenly fall silent. The ubiquitous crows would suddenly stop cawing. Not a single person would stir. It's like we were all caught up in that divine presence and that hush of sacredness. Incredible. There's no way to. But I think that many of you have had that come upon you, as I have, many, many times. Now, pretty much daily. But it can happen at the most unexpected moments. One time, back in the early 70s, I simply bent down to pet a cat and fell into this expansive bliss and a love so intoxicating. I felt like I fell in love with everyone and everything in all of existence. So it can happen at any time. You don't have to mood make to make this happen. You don't have to sit hours in meditation. In fact, these things seldom happen in meditation for some odd reason. Probably because we're trying
And in the trying, we're pushing it away, or we're fighting our thoughts, or we're fighting something. But this is when you're just mindlessly, notice I said mindlessly, going around your business of the day, not thinking of anything in particular, and bam, the magic happens. The dimensions part. The presence of God descends. And you experience limitless being, limitless happiness, limitless joy. Bliss and happiness and joy for no reason. But this is where you have that divine encounter. This is when the divine comes courting and wooing you. Oh, it's your own self. But it's experienced as the beloved, as the Lord, as God. So notice when that spaciousness, that otherness is present. You can practice it by sitting quietly in your room. Silence. It's so wonderful. Those of you that can create a time to just be silent and observant. Silent and observant. And just experience the deep peace. The deep peace that is present when you're simply quietly present and silent. You have a sense of peaceful tranquility and ease, a sense of exaltation sometimes, that is like a joyous gratitude that wells up. Where you're just grateful for existence itself. And you see with such clarity of vision beyond this body, this life, this world, these many, many things, to that which eternally is. And you have a heightened sensitivity to the beauty of this moment, of nature, and of just the most ordinary daily tasks. When you shift into those higher states of awareness, your very life is your love made manifest. Your life is one of ongoing giving and serving. Because when you live to serve, and you're not out to get, but to extend the kingdom of God to everyone, the bliss of God, the wholeness, the happiness of God. You're simply a conduit to extend that radiant energy. You will find that you're constantly filled and refilled and fulfilled. And that's the very, very secret to that abundant life that Jesus promised that he had come to give. That life more abundant. And you don't even have to ask. Your needs are met before you can even realize you have a need. And you find that you're walking in a state of grace. No longer are you walking a path of karma? You have the winged heart. You have the winged feet. You are the messenger of God. You are the herald of that into which we are all moving, if not now, 100% within the next 10 lives, according to Sai Baba. Within the next 10 lives, in the very worst case scenarios, you will realize these things I am talking about. But for many of you who are listening, who want this, you can have it now, in this very lifetime. So if this is what you want, pay attention and claim it. Claim it by assuming what we have said tonight is accurate, that you are holy, you are whole, you are divine, lacking in nothing, simply covered over with attitudes, assumptions, interpretations, and internal narratives that have kept you living small and under many covers. Ask the Divine Spirit to help you divest yourself of these conditioned coverings so that every day you awaken with a greater revelation of your holiness and your divine perfection. And then align your thoughts, your words, your actions with that loving. Clothe yourself in the Christ. What is the Christ? But purity, innocence, and fullest divine expression of love. Simply love. Love is who we are. We were made of love, from love, by love. And love is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Beloved, the Anointed One. That is our true self, the very one for which we have been longing and awaiting. Wait no longer. Arise and put on the Christ and illumine every dark corner within and without with your love. I hope this has been helpful. I know it has been helpful. Because we all need to remind each other of truth. That truth that nothing can change or affect. Let's raise our hands and see shafts of light pouring from the chakras in your center of your palms. And visualize in your mind's eye this gorgeous, unique planet Earth, so rich with diversity, so unique amongst all the planets in our solar system, so precious. And let's bless it. Let's bless all the kingdoms of nature, all life forms, every nation, every man, woman, child, every sentient being, every persuasion of consciousness and belief, every color, creed, race, gender identification, every path, every choice of expression. And we say, may you all be happy. May you all have peaceful minds. May you all awaken to the love that you are. May your eyes be opened to behold the beauties beyond this world, but also inherent in the beauty of this world. May you sleep peacefully. May all that you need come to you. May you have fulfillment of the desires of your heart. And most of all, may you realize that you are indeed holy, and that your holiness blesses this world. And may you know how deeply loved you are. And that's why we're all here together, sending forth these holy thoughts to all that exists. Love and light and grace to one and all. And let's go out chanting HU, H-U, and we'll close the three HUs with Shanti, which is a blessing of peace in Sanskrit. Three times each one. Ready? Deep breath. HU. Every one of you. Namaste.